And all those are certainly normal responses, but I want to pick out a few things I trust will be a blessing to you as we look into an Old Testament story of what happened in one particular instance in the people of Israel, the people of God. But again, it's just so good to be in church. Wouldn't you rather be here than still asleep? Some kids will say, not really. No, I had to come because my parents made me come. But it is good to be in church, and thank you for being here. I want you to turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. 2 Chronicles 20, we'll begin reading verse 1 when you get there. I did hear the story about this young couple. They were coming to the church and faithful and all that, but they were going to have their elderly pastor for dinner on Sunday, and it was of the days where it was typical for the pastor to go home with somebody, and they were going to have him for supper over there. And so the mom and dad, they were in the kitchen preparing things, the last minute preparations, getting things ready to bring it out. And so the little one of the children were there, and so the pastor was sitting there, and they said, "Pastor, sit here." He was sitting there waiting for the folks to come back, and the preacher, the minister, asked the little boy, said, "Oh, what are we having for supper? What are we having for dinner?" Whichever area of the country you're in. "What are we having for lunch? What are we having for dinner here?" And the kid said, "We're having goat." And the pastor really never had goat before. He said, "Really? Goat?" He said, "Yep, that's what we're having." He said, "Usually I get chicken. Sometimes you get pot roast. Sometimes you get this. I've never had goat before." He said, "Are you sure we're having goat?" And that boy said, "Yeah." He said, "Really? Really? Are you sure?" He said, "Yep." He said, "I heard mom say to dad, today is as good a day as any to have the old goat over for supper." So that's what you get for we're talking about the preacher behind his back, I guess. So remember that. Keep that in mind, everybody. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Verse number 1, I want to read down about verse number 5, then we'll pick up verse number 12 and kind of get the story. This is giving the account of victory over some of the wicked folks, Moab and Ammon. And the Bible says in verse number 1, the victory is given to the Israelites over those people. Verse number 1, "It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon with them other besides the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, 'There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazantamar, which is in Gedi.' And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court." I want you to look down, if you would, to verse number 12. This is some of the sayings. This is some of the reaction now that the people are giving to God after Jehoshaphat, their leader, leads them to the place where they pray and they fast. Look at verse 12. "O our God, will thou not judge them," that's them being the enemy, "for we have no might against this great company that cometh against us." They were overcome, they were overwhelmed, they were outmatched, but they're going to God. "We have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither," middle of verse number 12, "neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." And my friend, I don't know what problems we're going through. I don't know what issues are going to come up this week. There could be something going on in my body right now, and I won't know until this week sometime, but it may be the end of me. Same with you. We don't know, but what we won't get reports that before the week is out, before the day is out for that matter, that something's going on inside of our bodies that will certainly take us on to glory. I don't know what will happen. I don't want any of those things to happen to you, me, or any of our family, but I understand that we never know. But I do know this, the end of verse number 12, tells us how we ought to live, it tells us how we ought to behave, and it tells us what we ought to be thinking. That is this: our eyes ought to be on thee. Our eyes ought to be on him. And all Judah, verse 13, stood before the Lord with their little ones and the wives and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benai, on down through there, the Bible says, then this person came, the Spirit of the Lord, in the midst of the congregation. Then so Jehaziel gets the Spirit of the Lord on him, and he's going to pronounce some things. Folks, what I laid out for you is this. Jehoshaphat, the leader of the Israelites, Jehoshaphat gets news that he's got enemies coming his way. Physical enemies. These are not battles that are being fought in the mind. These are physical enemies coming to take care of the Israelites, coming to take them out if they have their desires. These are enemies coming their way. And these enemies that are coming want to destroy the people of Israel. Jehoshaphat gets word. And so Jehoshaphat sets the people to pray to God. And then he says, not only pray, but fast. Deny yourself a physical blessing so that we can look forward to getting a spiritual blessing. It's still a biblical concept today. But Jehoshaphat sets the people to pray. Jehoshaphat sets the people to fast. And he says, we've got to get help from God or else we will not make it. And my friend, I want to preach to you this morning this message entitled, When God Allows Trouble. Because God allowed trouble to come to Jehoshaphat. And you understand that the reaction that Jehoshaphat was, go to God, go to your knees, look up, go to prayer, and do some things to get a hold of God. But the story says that Jehoshaphat has a problem. As he turns the people to the Lord, I want you to see what this victory did in the lives of the people of God. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I pray that before this time is up, dear Lord, for the next few moments, that you would get us to see that, dear Lord, problems don't always mean bad things. Lord, bad things can produce good things. And, dear Lord, the negative can bring about your positive working in our lives. And, dear Lord, we can see you closer sometimes when problems come than we ever did while things were going good. Bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I get started, let me remind you of this. Our lives, spiritually speaking, get more sweet and get closer to the Lord when problems come than when good times are here. Meaning that when problems come to this life, usually my fervency in prayer, my walk with the Lord, gets increased over what it was when everything was smooth sailing. When you were having it made in a shade with lemonade, it's often sometimes hard to get yourself to spend long amounts of time in prayer. You understand that when difficulty comes, it brings us to that point where all we can do is go to God. You understand that when issues come that we have no control over, since we have no control over them, we automatically start seeking somebody who can have, or who does have control over it. I like what the verse says in verse 12, as we already looked, but our eyes are upon thee. And so if God would help us, I pray that we could see this morning that there's what happens when God allows trouble to come in your life. Sometime earlier this morning, I tried to change this message because I was going to preach something else. And I assume that the Lord, either in this service or the next, has some people that need to hear what happens here in the scriptures, because I believe that trouble is coming to all of our lives. And I believe that God will help us through each one of those. I want you to see this in verse number 12, 14, 15, that we see, first of all, when God allows trouble, it allows me to hear from God. Look in verse number 14, if you will. The Bible says, then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of all these things, he gives his pedigree there. The Bible says, the son of Mattani, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Now, a little different than we have now in our present age, but what would literally happen was that some prophet, some leader, somebody, the Spirit of the Lord would come on him and he would be a mouthpiece for the Lord. Now, understand that people say, well, Lord, I pray that the Spirit, your Spirit would fill the preacher and he would speak as you say. But you understand that a preacher today proclaims the Word of God. But in that day, the Spirit of the Lord would come on people and he would proclaim what was going to happen in a certain situation. And so Jehaziel is empowered by the Lord, is given leadership of God to give his speaking of what's going to happen. And so this particular instance in Jehoshaphat's life, this problem that came, number one, it allowed him to hear from God. As I already mentioned, you understand that when problems come and it drives me to my knees, it drives me to turn off every other distraction. It drives me to push out all the things that are crying for my attention and say, Lord, I want to hear from you. It's those times in the dark hours of the night when psalms that mean something to us really come to light. It's those dark hours in the night when you can't sleep. It's those dark hours of the night when nothing else is on, nothing's worth watching, nothing satisfies, nothing accommodates you, nothing seems to bring any peace, that you open the Word of God and you let it speak to you. I'm saying this morning, when Jehoshaphat, as he was going along like nothing was going wrong, he was going on like everything was fine, but then when he gets troubled, then when he gets overwhelmed, it's at that time that Jehaziel comes and he's got the Spirit of the Lord upon him, and Jehoshaphat now is able to hear from the Lord. You remember the story of Moses as he's tending sheep on the desert. The Bible said he turns aside to see and hear from the Lord as the bush won't burn. My friend, I'm just trying to tell us that when troubles come, oh, nobody wants them, and I'm one of them that doesn't want them. But when they do come, it allows us to hear from God. You understand that in 1 Kings chapter 19, the Bible says, talks about the earthquake, and God wasn't in the earthquake. It said it talked about the fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And that, after some part of that story, you remember the conclusion of it was that God was in the still small voice. When is it that you get that emergency radio that some of you got hidden back in the back of the closet, and you got the battery sitting beside of it, and you're going to hear what's going on? Well, you don't get that out till the electricity goes off. Electricity doesn't go off till some storm comes through. And so you don't get you've got preparations before, but you don't get that emergency radio out to hear from the last of it. On our dresser, we've got an oil lamp, a kerosene lamp that Dad or Mama give me. She's got lots of them. My mom collects them, and she's got lots of them. I've got one there. You know when you get that baby out? When that's all you got. And I know some of you may just burn them for old-fashioned sentiment. Maybe that's good. But most of the rest of us, we don't get that thing out. As a matter of fact, I'd have to go find some kerosene to put in it because it's just there for decoration. My friend, I'm trying to tell you, when trouble comes, it changes your outlook. All of a sudden, you don't really care what's on television. You don't really care about whether the yard's looking like Home and Gardens, or whether it's looking like Dungeons and Dragons. You don't care. It's immaterial to you at that point. When trouble comes, it makes you head to your knees. When trouble comes, it makes you listen to the Lord. It's not that He wouldn't have spoke to you all along the way. He would have, and He wants to fellowship with us every day. But sometimes when trouble comes, we get more in tune to what He's trying to say. And what I see here is that when the Lord allowed trouble to come in Jehoshaphat's life, when they said, "Hey, buddy, there's trouble coming, there's enemies coming, and these guys aren't coming to threaten you, they're coming to kill you. The folks of Ammon and the other enemies are coming against the people of God," and Jehoshaphat, he proclaims a fast and he proclaims a prayer time, and then after he does that and the people get quiet and they look up to the Lord, then all of a sudden God comes upon the one that's going to be his mouthpiece and says, "Thus saith the Lord," it allows me to hear from God. You know what I hear at 3 a.m. in the morning? Not much, because I'm asleep. But there are some times when at 3 a.m., sleep doesn't come because there's been too much going on in your life. You've spent the nights at the hospital, haven't you? You've spent the difficulties not knowing whether a little one would make it or not. You've had the hard times when you weren't sure whether the family would stick together. And at those times, you're pouring out your heart to the Lord. One old preacher said, to a young preacher, he said, "Don't worry about these stories when preachers talk about praying all the way through the night," because this preacher, the young preacher, was really bothered. He said, "I've tried. I try and I try, but I always fall asleep." And that old preacher said it like this. He said, "There'll come a time in your life when you can't do anything but stay awake and pray." And my friend, I'm trying to tell you, I do not invite trouble in your life or mine, but I do understand that when it comes, it allows me to hear from God. But not only that, it reminds me of another thing. Look in verse number 15, if you will. We didn't get that far down in our reading, but let's read it on from here. The Bible says, "And he said," after Jehaziel gave the pronouncement of the Lord, And he said, "Hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat," this is the Lord coming upon, the Spirit of the Lord speaking through this fella. "Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Not only does problems, when they come, allow me to hear from God, but it also reminds me that the battle is His, not mine. I'm on assignment from the Lord. What, know you not your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? The Bible says that I'm His. I'm bought with a price. I'm redeemed. I'm a purchased possession. I'm property of the Lord. The Bible says that I'm supposed to do things in my body that glorify the Lord. I'm not my own. I'm not supposed to be living my life. I'm supposed to be letting Christ live life through me. And so when problems come against me, when issues come against me, if I'm listening to the Lord, I'm following Him, I can remind myself that this is God's battle. As issues come up against Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, as we try to stand for the Lord, as we try to do what's right, I go to God in prayer and I say, "Lord, this is your church. I don't want it. I happen to be in the position to be the pastor of it. But Lord, this is your church. If folks would say something, if folks would do something, if some legal issue would come because of land or whatnot," and none of those things are happening, by the way, but I'm just saying, if they were, this is not our church. It is in the realm of when they say, "Hey, where do you go to church at?" That's my church right there. That's my church. This is my church. But this is not my church. This is the Lord's church. And so we understand that one of the greatest reasons that we believe, understand that, or one of the greatest peace that it gives when we do understand that is, I don't have to make it keep going. The deacons aren't responsible for making it keep going. God does that. We just try to get in on what God's doing, and we pray, and we pray people in, and we pray people to labor, and we pray souls to be saved, and we want the Lord to be glorified in His church. And we understand that when not only did Jehoshaphat hear from the Lord, but he was also reminded at the end of verse number 15 that this battle is not yours. If the Lord sees fit to take one of us to heaven, what business is that of mine, or what business is that of yours? Because the battle is not mine, but the battle is the Lord's. Sometimes we just need to remind ourselves that we're just in His orchestra. We're not the conductor. The Lord is the conductor, if you want to put it that way. We're just playing a little instrument. I was thinking about this some time ago, that in football, the key position, of course you've got the coach and you've got every position is important, but the key position there that everybody's gunning for is the quarterback. Because at the beginning of every play, he's who the ball is coming to. That is until he dishes off the football, either through a handoff or a pitch back or a pass. Everyone's trying to drive that quarterback in the ground until he can get rid of it. I thought about this in reference to your life and in my life. We need to stop trying to hold the ball and just remind ourselves that we're just on God's team and it's God's ball game. You understand that the problems that face your life, the problems that plague your family, that's God's business. If God sees fit to allow some terrible disease, some issue, some health concerns, some ongoing health problems, whatever it is, if God sees fit to allow that to invade your family, remember that this battle is not yours, this battle is the Lord's. My friend, it will give you peace. Because all of a sudden you're not asking God, why, why, why? Instead you're saying, "Lord, thy will be done. Thy will be done, thy will be done." And now folks, listen, this is not easy preaching. Because all of us want to be that quarterback and take the ball and run with it. But I remind you that we ought to remind ourselves that this is God's ball game, as it were. And again, that's a lesson I'm learning at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I've had the privilege to pastor two churches, this one in Grace Baptist Church in Delaware, Ohio. And I had to remind myself there, as I have to remind myself here, about that little tirade that I went on, that this is not my church. Because there was people's names now of this church for hundreds, a couple hundred years. There's been people that have been there, and their name's been on the sign, if we even had a sign that had a name on it. And then if Jesus tarries his coming, there'll be somebody after me. And we've got to all remind ourselves this is his church, not our church. And we have to remind yourself, though, not just this church, but your life as well. Isn't your life supposed to be hid in Christ? Isn't Christ supposed to be the orchestrator of everything we do? Isn't he the one that's all sovereign? Isn't he the one that we sang about, how great thou art? Isn't he that God that walks with us? Isn't he that God that goes before us? Isn't he that shield? Isn't he that buckler? Isn't he that one that's all encompassing? Isn't he that one that never leaves us and nor forsakes us? So what I'm reminding you this morning is, not only do when troubles come, it makes us stop and listen to the Lord, as literally Jehoshaphat got to hear from God, but it also reminds me, when God allows trouble to come, it reminds me that this battle is not mine anyways. Sometimes, you know, I've got a couple of teenagers, and sometimes teenagers think that they're the first one that has ever faced problems in their life. Only thing is, every other teenager before them has faced problems as well. But remember, whether you're a teenager or a senior citizen, whether you're a grandma or a grandparent or grandson, whether you're on the later end or the early end, remember and remind yourself that this battle is not yours. This battle is the Lord's. Not only does it remind us of that, but if you look down in verse number 17, it reminds us that God, why does it matter that it's God's battle? Because God's the one that fights for you. Look verse 17. This is what specifically he told Jehoshaphat in that particular instance, but it's true applicably to us. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Now understand that when he says that it's the battle is the Lord's, you don't have to fight, then he tells them at the end, go out and God will be with you. They're still going to be used of God in that battle, but they're reminded that the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's, and he's reminded that God is going to fight the battle. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we were so in tune with the Lord? When we said, Lord, there's a battle I'm facing at work. Somebody's giving me a hard time about this, that, or the other. Maybe it's justifiable. Maybe it's not. Maybe they have a point. Maybe they don't. But Lord, I'm going to let you do the fighting for me. You know what that does to me? A couple things. Number one, it gives me peace. Number two, it makes me be sure I'm right with the Lord. Hard for me to say, Lord, I want you to fight for me. And then 3 hours later, I get in and start flapping my jaws and trying to fight in place of God. Not only did it allow him to hear from God, and it reminds him that it's God's battle, but literally God fights for his people. I talked to a pastor some time ago. He was having a big, big old issue. They were remodeling a little bit of their church, not what we're doing, but remodeling a little bit, just redoing the platform. And he wanted to expand an altar area or pull it back. I can't remember which, but I think expand it. But the other, sir, some people are just way, way against it. And they were just button heads. Can I teach you something that somebody taught me a long time ago? It's just a little phrase, and you already know it, so it's not like I'm teaching you, but maybe apply it here. Can I help you learn this phrase? And that is, an old preacher taught me to bathe it in prayer. Bathe it in prayer. You say, what about it? Anything. There's some issues, the best thing you can do is just go to God and Him alone. Bathe it, you know, you like you do a marinade. Some of you want to do chicken or beef or whatever it is, night before you get in that Ziploc gallon bag or put it in a pan or something, and you put it in the bottom of the refrigerator, and you put Worcestershire, however you say that word, in that sauce, and then some teriyaki and all the rest. You put special herbs and spices. I know. Nobody knows your recipe. I got it. I understand. Yours is better than everybody else's. Heinz or none of the rest of them could figure yours out. But you put that marinade What do you want that to do? You want it to soak all up in there. And what that old preacher taught me is this. Issues that come in your life and in my life, what we need to do is just bathe them in prayer. Let the Lord fight our battles for us. There's plenty of them you're going to have to fight just, and you can't just leave it alone and leave it lie. I understand that. The Lord will say, okay, good, now get up and go do something. I got that. But there are so many instances where if you just bathe it in prayer, action on your part would never be needed. You'd just see the Lord's hand work. My pastor, who you'll all meet in June the 6th, he'll come for dedication day. We're looking, will you pray about it? This 8:30 service, we're going to try if we can, distance-wise and all that. Hopefully we'll move them to 11 so you can meet my pastor and you can all be there for the special stuff with Preacher Lastly. But you'll meet Pastor Norris. And he's got active rheumatoid arthritis. He's got a lot of health issues, but he just keeps on going. But there was a time when he couldn't keep on going. His father-in-law and my father-in-law and his father-in-law, not the same, he's my brother-in-law. So his dad and his father-in-law literally picked him up, put him in the back of a van, took him down to Duke University to see what they could do to get this young man at that point walking. Long story, maybe he'll share some of it, but long story, but it wasn't what they could do, but came back home and God led in a clear direction, but really just got him healed to a major degree so that he's been able to now for the last 30, 35 years to be able to keep on going. But I believe it's because his mom, my mother-in-law now, his mom and many people of the church, they just bathed that whole thing in prayer. And he's taught me before, John, there are so many issues that you don't even have to fight over if you'll just keep on going to God and bathe them in prayer. Folks, the battle is the Lord's. Now, I know some of us Christian folks, we get thinking, yeah, but God's deputized me. I'm going to take fight a little bit for him. Probably not. And what Jehoshaphat learned that day was when trouble came, it allowed him to hear from God. It not only allowed him to hear from God, what he heard from God was the message that the God that you've been praying to, he's going to fight for you. And then lastly, remember that God actually did fight for him. Look in verse number 29 and we'll close. Move on down through there because this is pretty much the end of the story. So, long story short, God defeats the enemies just like he said he would. But verse 29 says this, the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Did you get bad news this week? If we didn't get it this week, we might get it next week. If we didn't get it next week, we might get it some other time. We don't live in fear of that. And the reason we don't live in fear of it is because it's God's battle anyways. Remember, I told you, we're not the choir conductor. We're not the orchestra leader. We're just one of the instruments. God leading this orchestra reminds me it's God's battle. If I get bad news or I get good news, I say, Lord, blessed be the name of the Lord. I'll try. If we heard bad news, did we fall to pieces before we fell on our face? Verse number 12, my favorite verse of this whole passage. We already read it, but I'll read the end again. The Bible says, but our eyes are upon thee. One of my favorite old songs is that one that we've sang many times. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. What was so good about the bad news that Jehoshaphat got? Well, it caused him to listen to God. It reminded him that it wasn't his battle, it was God's battle. And then God's never shirked any responsibility. His battle that was God's got fought by God. And maybe some bad news has come to you. Maybe a battle you're right in the middle of. Maybe there's some tension, some things going on in midst your family. Maybe there's something going on at work. Maybe there's something going on in your neighborhood. Maybe there's something going on in business. Whatever. I don't know. So God can take it to you however He wants to. But I'm trying to tell us all, remember the battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Dear God, I ask You to drive this down deep in our hearts. Remind us that when You allow trouble to come in our lives, that's not the time to fall to pieces. That's not the time to get all sideways. That instead is the time to sit back and pray and meditate and seek You and commune with You and let You work. And Lord, I pray for my friends this morning. Lord, I believe You led me to preach this. I believe if I'd have preached the other sermon, I would have been wrong because I believe you led me to preach it. So Lord, You've led me to preach it. So now I pray that You would just not let it leave our thoughts. I pray that You'd capture us with it. And I pray that some people who have been wearing themselves slap out because they've been trying to do all that they can do for the battle, Lord, they just pray, they'd fast, they'd go to You like Jehoshaphat did. And they'd remind themselves, this battle's not mine. This life is not mine. This family is not mine. This money is not mine. This job is not mine. It's all Yours. Lord, give us peace this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Would you stand together as the ladies play something? If God spoke to your heart, I invite you to come. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. Friend, what is it that you've just been wrestling with and you've been holding back, holding on to, pushing, pulling, prodding, fighting, not remembering that it's the battle is the Lord's and not yours? I challenge you this morning to leave it to God. Give it on the altar. You don't have to come down this altar, although you're welcome to, but put it on the altar. Say, Lord, that battle's not mine anyways. That's Yours. That thing, whatever You decide to do in my family, in my body, that's Yours anyway. That's Your point, God. That's Your decision. That's Your battle. That's not mine. And my friend, I trust that you would find yourself giving it to God. If you've learned nothing else this morning, I trust that you take that little phrase that an old preacher a long time ago taught me. He said, John, you're just going to have to bathe that in prayer. There's many battles you're facing, my friend. You wouldn't have to face them. There's many decisions you're making about school or not or about this or that, that if you just bathe them in prayer, you wouldn't have to rack your brain like you've been doing. God would fight for you. God would make it clear. God would show the way. My friend, would you just give it to God? If you're here this morning, you're not saved. I didn't preach on that particularly, but I always ask if you're here and you know something's wrong on the inside. My friend, what's wrong is if you're not saved, then you're away from the Lord, separated. And one of these days, you'll be separated forever. In a horrible place called hell. And if you're here this morning not saved, would you step out and come? Love to take a Bible and just show you how you can be sure heaven's your home. Maybe there's some other spiritual need in your heart. You want to give something to the Lord. But you not only want to give it to Him personally, you'd like to share it with somebody else. Then we're here for you. Lord, I pray that You would bless us now this morning. I pray as we have looked into these truths that we would go home and take them with us and remember, dear Lord, that we're fighting and pawing and trying to get things done, but we're forgetting that the battle is Yours and not ours. Lord, I pray that You would help us in that. I pray that You'd help us to give it to You. Oh, dear Lord, please, I pray. Lord, I pray for our friends that right now are in the hospital. I pray for Brother John Young that You would lead the doctors, give them direct wisdom, Lord, know what to do for him to help all that get regulated. Lord, I pray for Brother Lynn. Oh, dear Lord, that he would sense Your presence right now. I pray that You would strengthen him and bless this good man of God. And I pray for Miss Georgia that you would help her as well. Lord, thank you for this beautiful day. We'll thank you for all you've given to us. Amen. Thank you. May look this way. Boy, it's a good day. It's a good day to be saved. And I'll sum that whole sermon up in just about 30 seconds. Somebody say, man, why didn't you do that an hour ago? Well, I didn't want to do that then. You'd have left on me. This sum it up to say, if we're saved, you're in the Lord's army. You remember you used to sing that song. Why don't you just let the commander of the army take care of it and you just play your part. If the Lord allows something to my life, then it already passed his desk, so to speak. You know, I went up to see my mom last week, and this week just we've ended, and she's not doing very well. But the Lord's in control. If he wanted to do different, he'd make her do different. We prayed otherwise, and God's not seen it to go that way. So we're just trusting the Lord. And when battles come and difficulties come, may we just say, Lord, your will be done. Get close, hear his voice, and then let him fight the battle. I'm going to ask Brother Stephen if you didn't mind to come. Brother Stephen Gay, pray for us and pray for our dismissal. And I'll be back here at the back. If anybody's guests with us this morning, we'd love to get a chance to meet with you. And anybody else, we'll be right out in the parking lot. Thank you, brother.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to church this morning. Thank you that you are an almighty, unchangeable God. No matter what happens, we can come to you, we can run to you, and you will shelter us, and you will help us in the time of need. Lord, we thank you for the truth. We thank you for everything you've done for us. Pray that you'll go with us now, and everything we do, may we honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
And love.